Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. Last night, when I went to bed, I think the estimated jackpot, Powerball jackpot, was $70 million, or just under $32 million if you took it all in a cash lump sum. But before church today, since nobody won, now it's $85 million, or $36 million as a cash lump sum. So if you won the lottery, haven't you ever played this game? If you won the lottery, how would you spend that money? I want to give you like 1 minute, and I seriously want you to think, what would you do if you had $85 or maybe just $36 million to spend? Are you done thinking about what you spend on your own self? Now think about what else you could do. Like, I'm trying. I'm only like to $3 million. It's tough. You know,
no.
It gets
tough. I have a passport.
Yeah. Well, just imagine what you could do with that much money. I mean, not just, like I said, you could pay, spend a lot on yourself, but then with that much money, you could do a lot more good for other people. I mean, you could fix a lot of problems, maybe even create a few problems. But Christy and I, we've often played this game, and we say, like I'm sure a lot of you say, if we won the lottery, we would help all these people. You know, we would take care of this, and we would help this person and help this person. But if that's really true, I mean, if we're honest about that, why would we wait? Because we never buy lottery tickets. So if it's truly a value we have to help other people to take care of their problems, and if we imagine it would be that much fun to do it, why wouldn't we start giving and helping right now with the money we already have? A famous philanthropist once said this: most people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade. I believe that we probably overestimate the good that we would do if we won the lottery in a short amount of time. However, we underestimate how much good we could do with the money we already have over a long period of time. Just this last week, I learned a very interesting statistic that I don't really understand, but here you go. People making $20,000 a year are 8 times more likely to give than someone making $75,000 a year. Why? It's hard to say. I don't know. But it does tell me this. Giving has a lot more to do with our attitudes about giving than about how much money we have. That's the truth. Here's another question I have for you. Why do you think people hate paying taxes so much? I mean, perhaps because the government is notorious for overspending and mismanaging money. Or maybe, because the things that the government spends money on might not be consistent with your values. On the other hand, I just want you to imagine for a moment, if your tax money went to help people you cared about, you personally loved and cared about, what if you saw that the money you sent in was there to fund valuable projects, that your leaders weren't going to just spend it on frivolous things, but they were going to sacrifice what they wanted to do what work for the good of the people? I mean, maybe you wouldn't have as much of a problem sending your taxes in then. You might even be, maybe, excited to be a part of something like that. That's because the government is a steward of our money. they're managers. Steward just means manager, okay? So they're managers, stewards of our money. And when the government does a poor job of stewardship, we don't want to give them more. Doesn't make sense. And here's why this matters. God sees our stewardship the same way, because he is the owner of everything that we have. And so when we mismanage it, when we're unwilling to sacrifice for the good of other people, he doesn't want to give us more. He wants to see us living out his values in our life. Listen to the words of Psalm 50. The mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it. For the world is mine, God says, and all that is in it, everything that's in it. God is the owner and provider of everything, which means he's the owner and provider of everything you have. Therefore, how you manage your money matters to him, just like how the government spends the money matters to you, because all of it is his stuff. When you use good stewardship practices, God gets excited to provide you more. But when your values don't reflect his values, when you keep everything for yourself out of fear that you're not going to have enough rather than sharing your blessings with others, he's not going to be more excited to give you more, because he knows it's not going to be used well. Our parable from Matthew 25 tells this story, just the beginning here. It will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. The word translated as bag of gold was actually a measure of unit in the Roman era called a talent. Some of you that know the story might recognize that word. A talent most often referred to 10,000, usually silver, denarii. Why does this matter? Well, a denarii was a day's wages for most people. 1 denarii. So a person would earn 10,000 denarii after 32 years of working 6 days a week. 32 years, okay? And one of these servants received 5 talents, which is like 162 years of working 6 days a week, all in one lump sum. That's a lot of money. But even the servant who only received 1 still got 32 years of wages. Right then and there. It's still a lot of money. But we immediately say, well, it doesn't sound fair. The 3 servants don't each receive an equal amount. Why not? Well, because the master cares about his money. And he cares about how it's used. It's more than just a gift. He expects the money to be used and to get a return on it. So he gives to each servant what seems appropriate to him about how much they can each handle. He knows them, and he provides for each according to their abilities. Jesus then applies this parable to God's relationship with his people, with us. We've already heard how God owns everything. The world is his and all that's in it, Psalm 50 says. So now we hear how he provides abundantly. He provides a lot, more than enough, to each one of these servants. But he provides for each of them according to their abilities. And more than that, it says he cares about the stewardship of those resources. He cares that they grow, that they're used. He wants us to use our resources, whatever he gives us, according to his values. So he blesses us with abundance. And we're called to use those resources to bless others abundantly as well. This parable expresses God's desire that we steward, manage our resources out of faith rather than out of fear. That last servant, he didn't exactly waste his resources. I mean, the guy didn't come back and say, oh, spent it all, sorry. No, that's not what happened. He just gave the master back exactly what he had been given. But the master had one of those resources used, multiplied. Which brings us to the question that I hope you've already asked yourself. How are you using the resources God has provided you? Are you scared of not having enough? And you hope God just comes down one day and says, you know, you just used what I gave you. I mean, is that a good enough answer? Our parable says that God provides you with an abundance, more than you need, more than enough. And God calls us to receive everything we have with thanks, and then to use those resources to bless other people for the kingdom of God. So whatever money God has blessed you with, use it to make a difference in the kingdom of God. This is what it's saying. Here's the thing. Maybe this message might inspire you to give more. You might feel crazy. Put $100 into the offering plate. I don't know. But that's not really the goal of this message at all, okay? I would rather you went home and budgeted how your household wants to give next month, okay? Even if it ends up being less than $100. Because when you see your giving as part of your monthly stewardship of God's resources, then you start to see God as an active and living part of your life, even when it comes to your money. And that knowledge will change not only how you see your money and spend your money and give your money, but it will begin to change every aspect of your life. Because stewardship is a lot more than money, okay? In Psalm 50, remember, it says, God says the world is mine and all that's in it, not just money. That includes you. How do you manage your time? Do you glorify God in your daily activities? In 1 Corinthians, Paul explains that we are called to honor God with our very bodies. Because even our bodies themselves are gifts that God has given us. Your children are gifts from God. When you spend time with them, what role does faith play in that relationship, in those relationships? How are you raising your children? You know, are you raising them to help them to know God so that they can bless other people? Do you talk about the stewardship idea with your kids? Are you raising them to be disciples who make other disciples? Are you providing them a good example of a life of faith? When it comes to stewardship of God's resources, money, it's an important part of it. But it's only a small part of it. Jesus' parable reminds us that stewardship comes from faith in God rather than fear. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you might live life free from fear. How much you give to the church, that does not affect your eternal salvation, not even a little bit. How much time you use to glorify God in your life, again, it doesn't change how pleasing you are in God's sight. So you don't have to worry about that. This doesn't come from fear. Instead, you have freedom to use your time and your talents and your treasure without fear. I mean, it opens up a lot of doors. What might you do? What would you do if you won the lottery? Well, you have won the lottery. God has provided you with an abundance of resources. Let's be honest. We live in the wealthiest country in the world. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that we've got in this country. And Jesus died for your sins so that one day you're going to be just walking on streets of gold in a heavenly kingdom. When you recognize how beyond blessed you are, how beyond blessed, imagine how excited God is going to be to provide you with even more of those resources in the future, because he knows that you will understand how to use them. Imagine how happy he'll be. Imagine hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." That's the goal of great stewardship. Being able to share in God's happiness with how we can be a part of blessing the world in Jesus' name. Amen.